Shalom Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Hey, a good devoch. I hope you had a wonderful Shabbos, and I hope you have big plans for Monday for the Siyam. But before we get there, we do have a couple of pretty big amudim and dapim to take care of. We are on the bottom of Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, and we've been in the middle of a discussion between Abai and Rabba. Rabba said that he held that tzedadim, that the sides of something, lo gozru bei rabbanan, specifically that he was sliding his kid down the side of a donkey, using it as a slide. And Abaye was like, hey, what are you doing? That's using an animal on yontif, or Shabbos rather. And Rabbah said, tzedadim are not part of any gzera against whatever stuff. So Abaye asked the Makasha, what about a sukkah? We have a brisha and a mishnah that talks about have a sukkah that's used by the third wall is a tree, and they said lo ailbe, you're not allowed to go into that sukkah on yontif because you may come to use the tree. What's going on? Isn't there a situation of tzedadim? So we answered that not really. The case is where there's the schach is leaning on the branches. Okay, either way, but this machlokas between Abaye and Rabba, whether tzedadim are included in the sides of something, are included in the gzera, not to use something. So the Gemara here says lemekatanai. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 lines up. Lemekatanai at the right beginning of the line. Ain olin la biyomtiv, right? So we can't go into this sukkah on yomtiv. Or shimra lazar, mishim rabbi meir olin ba biyomtiv, right? It's a machlokas whether you can go into this sukkah again that's being used. We said that if you remember, the case was where you have a tree and you have a piece of wood, a wooden board is nailed into the sides of the tree, and the schach is resting on the board. So the question is like this: can you go into that sukkah? On yontif, right? Are we concerned that you're going to use the tree or use is that considered right an issue on yontif or not? So it's a machlokas in the Tanaim, right? My love v'hakal miflagi v'mar sever tzedadim masurim v'mar sever mutarim, right? Isn't the machlokas whether you can use tzedei tzedadim of something, or right? The side of the tree, you're using the side of the tree. The question is, can you go into the sukkah or not? So Rabbi, no, lo, the kuli amat tzedadim asurim, really according to me, right, like I say, this is a bayashita, so he's obviously going to answer like his own opinion. Cool, everybody in that mishnah holds that tzedadim are asurim. But v'hacha, but tzedadim come in for you. The machlokas is the sides of sides. Meaning we're concerned that you're going to, not that you're going to use the tree or the sides of the tree, but that you're going to use the schach and put something on top of it. So now you're already two steps removed. That's already... you have a tree, you have a plank or a board that's nailed into it, and then you have the schach resting on the board. So if you use the schach, that's tzedadim tzedadim. That's already two steps removed. Mar sover tzedadim tzedadim asurim, mar sover tzedadim tzedadim mutarim. Okay, good, fine. Rava answers a little differently, and he says, mar de asur tzedadim asur nami bitzide tzedadim. Mar de shari bitzide tzedadim nami, shari nami bitzedadim. That actually the machlokas lines up, and that this Mishnah also is a machlokas about tzedadim, because if you hold that tzedadim is asur, then tzedei tzedadim is also asur. If you hold that it's mutter, it's also, right, tzedei tzedadim is also going to be mutter. Hey, so wait 1 second, I'll ask you a question. Rav Mishar Shir the Rava, Na'etz Yosei B'ilan. Let's say you stick a peg into a tree, v'tola ba kalkalo, and you hang a basket. And this is for a basket, for an eruv. If you look at Rashi, first line, v'tola ba kalkalo, v'nasim ba eruvo, v'unis kavin l'shvus l'mata tachas ha'ilan. The din is, as we've mentioned, that a person has 2,000 amos in either direction from where he takes hold of his shvus, where he's resting, where his Shabbos is set up. So if you set up an eruv, let's say under a tree, so that is considered your place for Shabbos, and you have 2,000 amos in every direction. So you set an eruv. So basically, if you put the basket hanging from a peg that's nailed into a tree as your eruv, so if, back in the Gemara, l'mala me'asar tvachim erin eruv vo eruv, if it's over 10 tvachim, so then it's not going to be good, because that's already, you're not allowed to take the food out of the basket on Shabbos. As Rashi says, Makakala b'toch yud, well, I guess that's lamata, but Rashi explained in a second. That Rashi is, basically the Erev needs to be within the same Rishos. If it's above 10 tefachim, right, we said that Rishus Rabim goes up to 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim is a makom ptur. If the basket is above 10 tefachim, so then you can't get the items out of it because it's not in the same Rishus. You need the Eruv to be in the same Rishus to take the Shvis, to make the Shvis account. So if it's above 10 tefachim, it's not a good Eruv. Lamatami tefachim, but below 10 tefachim, then Eruv, then it works. So the Gemara says, Taima denot yosid be'ilan. Apparently, what's the reason why this whole thing works is because you stuck a peg in the tree. Halo noats, but if you didn't stick a peg in the tree, lamatami tefachim in any ruva Eruv. Apparently, if you used, let's say, a branch that was under 10 tefachim, that would not work. Right there, because again, why else would you create this whole case of sticking a peg in the tree? Apparently, that's required. If you didn't do it, so apparently you're not allowed to use the tzedad in the side of the tree. So the Gemara says, how does that work? Right, so any ruvei, v'ha'id tana, the kasarvat tzedadim, v'kashari, v'tzidei tzedadim. Right, but this tana holds that the tzedadim is usher, but tzidei tzedadim, right, from, again, using the tzedadim, i.e. the branch, that's no good, but using a peg that's stuck into the tree, that's tzidei tzedadim, that it would be mutter. So how could you tell me that the one who holds that tzedadim are his mutter also holds that tzidei tzedadim is also mutter, and vice versa, same thing with the usher. So, right, how can you hold that those shitas line up? So, Amarav Papa, Hacha Bekalkala Dechuka Eskinan. No, because here we're talking about kind of like a very thin basket. The Bahadi Shakale La Eruv, because when you take the Eruv out, Kamadid Le Ilan, you have to move the tree. And therefore, the issue is you're going to not use the branch, not the tzedadim, but you're using the tree itself. And that's already also already not allowed to use the tree on Shabbos. So, therefore, right, so that's why it's an issue. That's why you need to be hanging on a peg, because in that scenario, you're not going to end up moving the tree and shaking the tree to get to the Eruv. And it's not a din, it's not talking about tzedadim or tzidei tzedadim at all. Okay, the Hilchasan halacha is, says the Gemara, tzedadim asurim tzidei tzedadim mutarim. And the halacha is, in fact, against Rava, that these do not line up, that the sides of something is aser, but tzidei tzedadim, that's already two steps removed, and that is mutar. Amar Ravashi, hashtadam ras, tzedadim asurim. Right, now that you're telling me that tzedadim are aser, hai darga demadla, if you have a ladder that is kind of, hey, you know, that goes up pretty high. Lo limche inish adikla. You shouldn't lean it on a palm tree. Dehavalut tzedadim, because that's going to be tzedadim. Right? You're using the side of the tree. Elo limche agvaze levar midikla. Rather, you should put it on the, the sides, the, I'm not sure exactly how to explain this, but something from coming out from the tree. Right, there's a yosed, right? You should put a, you should, I guess the same idea as before. You should put some sort of peg, as Rashi says, right? You should slam some pegs or some stakes into the side, not stakes, S-T-E-A-K, but S-T-A-K-E, yeah, on the side of the tree, and then rest the ladder on it. Because that would be, again, be tzidei tzedadim, same idea as we say, as he had the basket before. That must be, I guess that's a shot. Linchag, right, the varmi diklag, the chisolik, lo linich kare agvaze, litznach akonin. And when you go up, you shouldn't put your foot on that peg that is stuck into the tree, because again, that's the tzedadim of the tree. Ella litznach akonin, but you should use make sure to use the actual ladder itself on the rungs and not the pegs that are slammed into the tree again, because then you're using tzidei tzedadim if you have to go up and get something, I don't know, from the tree or whatever. Again, to a, maybe there's an aliyah or some treehouse. Well, that doesn't make sense. All right, either way, if you can use a ladder and you need to prop it up against a tree, make sure you stick in some pegs to make sure that it's tzidei tzedadim and not tzedadim. Okay. Now, weiter in the Heilige Shas, the Mishnah says like this: Matirin pakiyei amir lefnei habehema. You can untie pikiyin amir that were bundled together. Lefnei behema, this is animal feed, animal straw. We're going to define all these phrases in the Gemara. This is going to be machlokas, this is exactly what's going on. So we're just not going to translate it for it now. But matirin, you can untie pakiyei amir lefnei behema. And with fasfusin, this is a kipin. You can also scatter this kipin of a low as a zirin, but you can't do this for zirin. And be machlokas what this is. Ein maraskin, low as a shachas. You cannot, is like mash up, or cut finely. Shachas is animal food. Veloz a charuvin or caribs. Lefina behema. Bein daka bein gasa, whether it's a big animal or a small animal. I guess small or big, if you're being accurate with the translations. Rabbi Yehuda matir becharuvin l'daka. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter to mash up or cut, you know, these caribs for a small animal. Again, Rashi says simply because the animal will not be able to eat it. Shishina dakos l'kashin l'on. Right, it has very small teeth. And therefore, that's the only way you can actually feed it. Ravuna, okay, what is going on in these? What are these things? Pekiyim, what are kipin, what are zirin? So Ravuna says, hein pekiyim, and you'll see there'll be a klal that will explain. You don't really have to remember exactly what these items are. There's a rule here that Ravuna and Rav Yehuda are going to argue out. So Amar Ravuna, hein pekiyim, hein kipin. Pekin and Kipin are the same thing. Pekin tray and Kipin tlasa. Just in terms of how many things are bundled together. Pekin are two, Kipin are three. Zirin are da'arze, are branches of a cedar tree. V'achikamar, and this is what the Mishnah means to say. Matirin pekin amir lefne behema, you can untie pekin that are bundled in front of an animal, umifasfasin. And you can also scatter it out. V'wadin lekipin, and so too, for kipin, right? Depending, regardless of whether it's there are two stalks or three stalks, tied twice or tied three times. Yeah, Rashi says over here, kipin tlask shirin gimel agudim. So it depends on how many times it's tied, right? You have a bundle of straw, tied two times, tied three times, doesn't matter. You can untie it and you can scatter it in front of an animal. Avaloa says zirin, but you cannot take zirin, which is again branches of a cedar wood. Lo lefasfes v'lo lehatir. Right, you can't scatter and you cannot untie it. Amar of Chista, my time out with Rav Huna. What's the reason? What's the logic here? And this is the rule you should remember. Kosovar le mitrach ba'uchla tarchinon le shave uchla lo mashvinon. On Shabbos, it's mutter to do extra tircha, extra work, to help an animal get to food easier, but you're not allowed to turn something into food. So when you take these bundles of straw, right, you're allowed to scatter it out so that it's easier for the animal to eat, but you can't take these bundles cedar wood and untie them or scatter them because when you do that, you're creating them, you're turning them from, let's say, firewood into food. Right? Apparently the animal cannot eat it beforehand without untying or scattering, so you're not allowed to make something from, let's say, firewood into food. Okay, that's Rav Huna's Shita. As you're going to see, Rav Yehuda is going to say the opposite, that you're allowed to make something into food, but you're not allowed to put extra effort in to make sure the animal can eat things easier. Rav Yehuda explains that no, hein pekin, hein zirin, that the first and third items, pekin and zirin, they are the same thing. Pekin, tre, zirin, tlasa. And again, pekin are tied with two ties, or straw tied with two ties. And zirin are tied with three. Kipin de arzi, and kipin are cedar wood branches. Ve'achikamer, this is what it means to say. Matirin pekiyim amir lefnei behema. You can untie pekiyim before an animal. Avo pispusei lo, but you're not allowed to scatter it. Ve'kipin pispusei nami mifasfasinan. But kipin, if it's tied three times, then you can scatter it because again it was tied three times, and then because that was already. Kipin is the arze, is the cedarwood branches, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So you can untie those, and you can even scatter them, right? Kipin fispase nami mefaspasin, masfasinan, avaloza zirin, lefaspase el lahatir. But you're not allowed to scatter the zirin, which is the three tied straw bundles. The only thing you're allowed to do is untie them. And again, Amarava, why time with Rabbi Yehuda? What's the reasoning? Kasava shavuye uchla mashvinan mitrach ba'uchla l'drachinan. You can turn something into food for an animal, but you're not allowed to go to add an extra effort to make sure the animal eats it easier. So once the food is ready and available, so then scattering, again, you know, the straw and whatnot, is not going to be mutter. Okay, so let's see what the halacha is. So what's the deal? Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Let's give a kasher. Ein maraskin es hashachas v'zacharuvin lefnei behema v'imbedaka v'imbegasa. Our Mishnah. You're not allowed to chop up or grind up this animal food or caribs in front of an animal, whether it's a small animal or a big animal. My lav charuvin dumi in the shachas. Is it not that the caribs are similar to the animal feed? Ma shachas darachichei af charuvin darachichei. Just like the food is... Just like the the what's it called? The rakike rak is soft. So just like the animal feet is soft, so too the carobs are soft, right? And alma lo tarchinim ba'uchla, but you're not allowed to chop it up, right? Even though it's soft and make the animal, the food easier to eat. So v'tiyufti d'ravuna, who said that you're allowed to do extra effort to make the food more edible. So amar l'charavuna, no, lo shachas dumi d'charuvin. The animal food here is similar to the carobs, right? Don't compare that way, compare the other way. Ma charuvin d'akushe, af shachas d'akushe. The case here is where the food is hard. Is hard and very difficult to eat, and you know, I mean, you want to chop it up and make it softer. So heichemishkachzla, what's the where do you have a case where animal food is hard and tough to eat? So the Gemara says, beile zutri, talking about donkeys, where you have to actually chop it up in order to make it edible. So you're making it into food, right? Again, that's the issue, right? And the Mishnah says, "Ein maraskin," if you're turning it into food, so that's going to be usher, and that's exactly what our Mishnah says. That works out totally fine, according to Rav Huna. So, yeah. So Tashma, so we have to bring another proof. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charuvin ladaka. Rabbi Yehuda says, right at the end of our Mishnah, says that it's mutter for you to give caribs to a small animal, ladaka in lagasalo. Meaning you're allowed to chop it up. I mean, you're allowed to chop it up for a small animal, as we said, Rashi says, because their teeth are small, it's harder for them to eat. Apparently, you're not allowed to chop it up for a big animal. So, if you'll tell me that the Tanakama holds that you're not allowed to put an extra effort for food, to make food more edible, but you are allowed to turn food into food, right? That's why Rabbi Yehuda said that you can chop up the caribs for the small animal, nami shavui uchlahu, because you're turning it into food. Eli amris tanakama sabar shavui uchlan lo mashvinan, but if you tell me the tanakama holds you're not allowed to turn food into food, right, something into food, and mitrach buta b'uchla tarchinan, but you are allowed to put in an extra effort, right, to make the food more edible, so Rabbi Yehuda dematir b'charuvin ladaka, right, what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter for you to chop up the caribs for a small animal, kosher kein lagasa. Certainly, you should be able to do this for a big animal. Right? Obviously, if the whole point is that if you're just making it easier for them to eat, right? Obviously, you should be able to make it easier for a big animal to eat. So, Gemara says, "Mi savers daka daka mamish." What are you telling me that we're talking about a small animal? Right? Literally, a small animal? No, my daka gasa. What's a small animal? Really means a big animal. What does that mean? So, basically what the Gemara really means is that daka and gasa, big and small, is not referring to the size of the animal at all. It's talking about, my karle daka, why is it called that a small animal? The daika ba'uchla, because there are animals who eat their food a lot. Rashi says, kosesis yofe umadegas uchla bapia. There are animals that choose their animal, that choose their food a lot, very fine. That's why it calls it daka. There are animals that chew up the food so that it is daka, that it is small. The daka and the gas is talking about the food, not talking about the animal. The Gemara says, but meaning that's what it's talking about. It chews up its food very, a lot. And so therefore, it doesn't allow you to chop up the caribs for a big animal because, the big animal can eat caribs, which are very hard. Right? You only have to chop it up for a small animal, or for a big animal who chews its food very finely, because caribs are very tough and they're not going to be able to get to that refinement. So Kumar says, no, that doesn't make any sense. Hum in Tikatani Risha bin Daka bin Gasa. What did we say? We said beforehand that you're not allowed to chop up caribs and food according to Tanakama, whether it's Lefne Behema bin Daka bin Gasa, whether it's a big or small animal. Apparently, we see that we're talking about a mamish, a small animal. Which you can't tell me that it's referring to the food at all. That doesn't make sense. It can't be that the food, that daka and gasa is referring to the food. It must be talking about the animal. And the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right. That's a good Kasha. But I got nothing for you. That's actually is a difficult question. Toshma, hold on, let me bring you a proof. Another proof against... I think this is Rabbi Yehuda, but I'm not sure. Mechatchin es adlun lefne behema v'sanavela lefne haklovim. If I'm not mistaken, this is the last Mishnah in Shabbos. Could be wrong. Maybe second last. Second last. Could be second last. Okay. Either way, you're allowed to cut up duluin, gourds, or a dead animal for dogs. My love duluin dumya de navela doesn't aren't when comparing the gourds to the dead animal. My navela de rakika after lunder rakiki. Right, and they're all soft. Right, al matarchinim beuchlo tuyav de rav yuda. Right, you see that the if it's soft, but you're allowed to cut it up, that's against Rav Yehuda, who says that you're allowed to turn something into food, but you're not allowed to make it easier for the animal to eat. So Rav Yehuda, no, go the other way. Nevela dumi de duluin, that the dead animal, the carcass, is for the dogs, is similar to the duluin for the gourds. Ma duluin da ashune af nevela da ashuna. Just like the gourds are tough, so too the carcass is tough. It's not hard, but I guess it's tough. Right, you need to cut it up in order to make it food. What's the case is that? What kind of animal meat has to be cut up before you can eat it? So, I'm not sure how common this was, maybe in Persia. But, besar pile, and elephant meat. Inami, or beguraisa zutri. Or, they're small animals, small dogs, that can't eat the food that unless it is chopped up. So, therefore, you're turning something into food. According to Rav Yehuda, you're not just making it easier for the animal to eat. Finally, Tashma, one last one. Datani Rav Chanan min Arada, Mefarchinan Tevin Baspasta, Umarvin. You can kind of combine straw, and aspasta was like, I guess, more raw straw, and kind of mush them together. Right, and, but apparently they're both animal food, but if you can combine it together and crush it together, apparently that's as the Gemara says, Alma Tarchina Ba'ucha, you can put in extra effort for the food. So the Gemara says, no, Tavin Tivnasaria, we're talking about bad straw. And you won't eat it unless you mush them together. And aspasta be'ili zutri, and the food is for young donkeys. You need to crush it together and mix it together. So again, it's talking about making it into food and not putting in extra effort, and that is totally fine according to Rav Yehuda. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein ovsin es hagamal. You cannot. Well, we'll see what it's talking about. An oves is a trough. And we'll see the Gemara, we'll talk about what exactly is this this action, but it's basically you can't put a ton of food into the animal to prep it for a journey. Then dorsin, and you also can't dorase the food, ava malitin, but you can be malitin with the food into a camel's mouth, and the Gemara will talk about exactly what those define as. Then ma'amir nesagalim, and you also can't stuff food into give food to an eagle, baby cow, a calf, aval malitim, but you can't do this malitim. Okay, mahaltin l'tarnagolin, in the tarnagolin, and you can also feed mahaltin in the mahaltin way, which again the Gemara will describe, to chickens. Venosin mayin lamursa, and you can put water into their feed, avalo govler, but you can't knead it, K-N-E-A-D, that would be lush. And it's got an issue of meat, right? For sure going to be a malacha on Shabbos. Then you notice that mayan lefnei devorim lefnei yonim shabashuvach, and you can't put water in for bees or for doves in a shuvach. Shuvach is a dove coat where they live. Why can't you put water? Obviously, what malacha is that? So as we'll see, it's not a malacha, but it's an issue of extra effort because they can find water wherever they go. So you don't need to feed them water. They can find water, right? Birds fly, bees fly, etc. But you can put water in front of geese or chickens or pigeons. The hardesios are domesticated pigeons. So none of those animals will be flying around and going and getting their own water. So then, obviously, that is upon you to feed them and you need to take care of that, and that's fine. So the Gemara says, what are these phrases in the Mishnah? My ein ovsim. What does that mean? So Rav Yehuda, ein ovsim la avos, evos besoch meyah. You can't make a trough in its stomach. Excuse me. Meaning, you can't make it, can't give it so much food so that it has almost like a trough in its stomach. So Gemara says, Mika, ika gai gavna, can you really feed it that much? So Gemara says, yeah, you can. Once I saw an Arab, the ochla kora ve'atina kora, kora is a measurement, a tremendous amount of food. So he gave the animal the camel a core of food, Vatina, and I loaded a ton of food, a core of food, onto his back for him to eat again. Apparently it's a very long journey, so apparently you can just totally, you know, fatten the animal, stuff it up like that. Ein ma'amirin, you cannot, speaking of fattening, you cannot fatten calves, but you can feed them. So Gemara says, what's going on, Avia? Ezerhi hamrav, ezerhi halta. Right, which one is which? What is mutter and what is asr? So Amar Rav Yehuda hamara, what is that? L'makom she'ino yichol l'hachzir. That's when you stick food into a place where you can't cough it up again. Right, meaning that you force feed it. Right, you can't. It has to. It's impossible for it to get it out. Halta halata, but which is mutter. L'makom she'yichol l'hachzir, into a place where it can spit it back up. Okay. Rav Chista Amar, idi v'idi l'makom she'ina yichola l'hachzir. Both of them the cases are where you put it so far back the calf can't spit it up. Amra b'kli v'halata b'yad. And the question whether it's mutter or not, again, it depends on whether you're using a kli or your hand. Right, again, you're the, yeah, fine. And again, right, it's too much, it's again, we're still talking about putting in too much effort in terms of feeding an animal. Right, you stick food in front of a calf, so it's going to eat it. Right, you don't have to make yourself crazy, but to, you know, to really stick the food all the way down, right, so that's already extra effort. Again, the same idea that you really shouldn't put in too much tircha on Shabbos. Masif Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, one second, I ask you a question. Mehaltin l'tana golim ve'in tzorech lomar shamal kitin. Right, you can stuff chickens, not dead chickens, but live chickens, stuff food with them, and certainly you can give them food. But you can't give food to birds, to doves in a dove coat, or to doves in aliyah, in some sort of, I guess, dwelling that's high up. And certainly you can't stuff them with food. So Gemara says, "My mahalkedin and my malkitin." What is that? What are those two words? What is mutter? What is aser? So ilema mahalkedin the safi lebiadayim. If you tell me that that refers to the mahalkedin is feeding them by hand, malkitin the shadi le kamayu, and feeding is just throwing the food on the floor. Apparently, you can't throw food to the doves in the dove coat or in upstairs. Like, what does that mean? That, obviously, you could feed your animals. It must be that mahalkitin, that that's stuffing it to the point where they can't spit it out. Malkitin is lamakam she'yichol lahachzir. So apparently, that, right, that's against Rav Chista. That's against Rav Huda. Rav Yehuda, hold on, because they see the shift to Rav Huda. Let's read it again. Elav, it must be that mahalkatin is the makam she'en yichol ha'achzir. When that's feeding into a place where we can't spit it up. Malkitin the makam she'en yichol ha'achzir. Right, but michal de hamra b'kli. Right, it must be that hamra though, right, which is aser, right, that's already something that's even worse than, you know, feeding it with your hand or throwing it on the ground, right, which hamra, which is aser, it must be something that's even more ma'al me'aver, something above and beyond. So maybe that must be with a kli. So Rav Yehuda said no. La'olam mahalkatin disafe lebiadayim. Really, mahalkatin is when you give. You're stuffing the food down with your hand, and malkitin is sharei kamayu, and malkitin is throwing in front of them. What was the kasha? Yone shuvach v'yone aliyah. The mishnah kamayu and amilo. You're not allowed to throw food in front of animals. So it says, "Hani mizano son alecha." No, these which you're allowed to feed, they need you to feed them, like chickens and stuff like that. The honey, but these for the doves. Ein mesono zon alecha, right? They don't need you to feed them. They can get their own food. So therefore, it's extra tircha, even just to throw the food on the floor in front of them, and right? They get their own food. So they don't need your efforts, and that's already above and beyond what you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Okay. Kentanya, like we learned in Abraisa, right? Knows the mizonos lufnei a kelev. You can put food in front of a dog. He knows the mizonos lufnei a chazir, but not in front of a pig. My hevrish penzel is that. What's the difference? Zeh mizonos sav alecha, v'zeh ein mizonos sav alecha. Right? Okay, so you see you have a Abraisa that proves that svara. Oh, Rav Ashi masnisam nami deka. Right, and our Mishnah makes a lot of sense. If you look at the language, right, it makes a lot of sense also. Again, you can't put water. And that's what we said in the Mishnah. You can't put water in front of the bees or in front of doves in a dovecote. What's the difference between these? What's the reason? What's the difference between these animals? Right? It depends on who you have to be feeding. Right? The first you have to feed, and the first you have to you don't. The second you don't have to feed. So Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. Even though the halacha might be true, but it's not a good proof because the tameich according to that might iri maya. Why did you mention water? Right, you're talking about feeding, but our Mishnah says water. Right, should also extend to food. No, water is different because you can get water anywhere. Right, you can get water in a stream or a pond or whatever. So the bees and the doves, they can all fly out, but the geese and the chickens or whatever, they're not going anywhere. So therefore, you have to be able to give them water, and that's what's it called, and that's therefore mutar on Shabbos. Okay, Darsh Rabbi Yona, Apiskot the Beinasiyah, Rabbi Yona darshened at the entrance to the Beis Hanasi, the Beis Medrash. My Dechthiv, what does it mean when the Pasuk says, Yodea Tzadik Din Dalim, that the righteous one knows the halacha, the din of the people who are suffering? So Yodea Kosh Baruch Hu Kekelev Shem Zonasav Mu'otim. Kosh Baruch Hu knows that the dog doesn't have so much food. Right? I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess, dog will go hungry. The dog doesn't have so much food. Therefore, a dog's food stays in its stomach for 3 days. Like we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is talking about the din is if an animal eats up let's say something that was tame, let's say a mace. And obviously, so then that becomes part of the animal. It's no longer metame. Let's say the animal eats a mace, but then dies. So you have a mace, a piece of a mace, inside of an animal. So at what point does the mace become part of the animal? So when it digests the food, right? At the end of the digestive cycle, right? If a dog swallowed a piece of flesh, again, rachmal atzlan, but a dog swallowed something that's tame and then died 2 seconds later, That meat is still inside of it. So again, before or after the digestive cycle, that's when it's going to change its tumah status. So that's not. That's what we see in the Mishnah. The kama tisha achilaso b'me'a v'yu tame. How long does the tame item stay in an animal's stomach and stay tame? Bekelev shloshiyam emes le'es. Literally 72 hours. V'ofo subedagim by birds and fish k'deshitipo la'or v'tisarev. As long as it would take to fall into fire and get burned, meaning almost right away, almost immediately. So you see that, a dog, Kosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on a dog who doesn't have so much food around, but at least the food stays in his stomach for a long time. Amar Rav Hanuna, Shema Mina, we see from here, the Orach Ara Lemishta Umta Lekalu. And it's a nice thing to do, to throw some meat to a dog. By the Kama, and how much? Amar Rav Mari, Mashach Udne V'chutra Abasre. Chutra, as you know from Chag Gadya, is a stick. So throw some food. Mashach Udne. Udne is like Ozne, as much of his ear, comparable to the size of his ear. And then, hit the ground at least hit the ground with a stick or something. As Rashi says, if you look at Ma'at Kamos Ozno, right, give him a little bit. The Chutra Basrei Yakeo B'Makeo, you should hit it with a stick. Shelo Yehei Margilo Etzlo, because what happens when you feed a stray animal? So it starts kind of hanging out with you and tagging along. So it's nice to feed it, but you don't want dogs hanging out on your doorstep. But very often, if you feed stray animals, they stick around. So, the Gemara says, "Honey, me b'davra." That's only in the davra, in the midbar, in the desert. Avol b'masa, but in the city. So then, don't do that. Also, the mitzrach, because then again, the animal is going to kind of stick around; and it's not going to leave. Rashi says, "Interesting. What's the problem with that? Who cares?" So, v'afsidu, I mean, you're going to come to a loss, right? It seems to be monetary. It could be that it'll make you lose money to feed these animals. So Amar Rav Papa, Leis Danya, fine. Amar Rav Papa, Leis Danya Mikalva, there's no food, there's no animal that is poorer than a dog. Amar Stomach, because of its food, is not found readily. Ve Leis Da Asir, mechazira. And there's no animal that is as rich as a pig, because pigs, you know, eat anything, and their food is everywhere in the stomach. Tani kamas the Rabbi Yehuda. There's a brisa that agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Ezuhi hamrav. Ezuhi. Again, back to our discussion. Ezuhi hamrav. Ezuhi halata. Which one is which? So hamra marbitzu pokus is pia. Hamra is when you kind of you put the animal down on its side or it's on its knees and you know and kind of pokus is pia. You force open its mouth, right, so that you stuff the food in. You feed it food and water at the same time. Again, you're trying to get the food down so that the water will swash the food down. Halata, again, doesn't seem to be like a pleasant experience, but okay. Halata machila ma'umad u'mashke ma'umad, right, that's already when the animal is standing. V'nosin kashinim b'fnei atzman u'mayim b'fnei atzman, and the food and the water is separate. And then for, again, that would be mutter, right? As the Mishnah said, "Mal itin," you're allowed to do mal itin, but vein ma'amirin. Okay, fine. We'll stop here, Abosai, and Mitzvah Shem of Aviter, and the Hele Geshas tomorrow. Get those Erevin Gemaras ready. Mitzvah Shem. We should be all bizocha. Have a great night or day or week, or depending on where you're listening to this, have a Shavuot Tov and Gevurah.